Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here this morning. We're into the rain season again, so we're glad to get out of the freezing cold. So glad to see everyone here. I hope you had a good week and was blessed, and we're ready to worship the Lord. So I want to remind you, we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. It's by Zoom, so it's great. We can pray for the church and anybody else that needs prayer. It's a good time. We're done by 8 o'clock. It's just perfect. So come and join us. And if you don't have Zoom, there's a phone number, and you can just still be with us just by way of phone. So it works really well. Then we have the GroupMe, which is a group chat. If you need prayer right away, it's a great way to just connect, or if somebody else needs prayer. So see Debbie, if you can put it on your cell phone or tablet or whatever you have, and just check with Debbie and she'll get you connected. And we have gleaners on Wednesdays. They say 10:55, 11 o'clock, they open up the food and it goes fast. So come a little before 11, and also between 10:30 and 11:30, if you know somebody that needs food, they will gladly come and supply some food for you if you want to give Jerry or Helen a call. And this Saturday is our celebration of life for Paul Baker. I encourage you all to come and support Carol and the family. It's at 11 o'clock, and then there will be potluck afterwards. And next Sunday is our potluck. So two potlucks in a row, Saturday and Sunday. So be sure and bring something and stay in fellowship with each other. It's a great time. And the men's retreat is coming up at Rockaway on March 24th to the 26th. If you're interested, check with Bill. He'll give you all the info. And then there's the spring celebration is coming up for WCG. Well, it's not WCG anymore. It's Christian Women's Connection. I'm old. Anyway, it's at the Lowell Church of God on Friday night and Saturday. So you can see Donna. There's flyers back there, she said. So Helen just picked one up. Good. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you today just with open hearts, Lord, and just calm our heart and our mind, Lord, and just let us put all of the world behind us and let us just focus on you. Father God, you are such a blessing to us. We are so blessed to have you in our lives, Lord, that we just come to worship you, to just praise your name, Lord, and to just give you the glory. So I come today with my heart just open. I'm anxious to hear what you've put on Teresa's heart to share. And this morning in my devotional in Isaiah, where it says, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And you are so holy, Lord, and we just want to praise your name. We give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So let's stand. We're going to go to our call to worship. And it is Psalms 51, verses 10 through 12.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit.
Yes. Joyful, joyful, we're going to start with. Oh, wait. We're going to sing happy birthday. The pastor's birthday is tomorrow. Tomorrow, we can't do this without singing happy birthday first. So are we ready?
Yeah. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, Happy birthday, dear Pastor. Happy birthday to you.
Yay! And many more. I almost forgot. All right, now we can sing Joyful, Joyful. Because we are joyful.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy words with joy surround me, earth and heaven reflect thy grace. Stars and angels sing around me, center of unbroken grace. Hill and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea. Singing bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Whispering of the joy of living, ocean depth of heavenly rests. Thou art Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is waiting for us, finding all lingers in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us upward in the triumph song of life. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best one, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and true friend to me. Thou in me dwelling, and I join with thee. Riches I need not, nor vain empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of Heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach Heaven's rise, O bright Heaven's sun. Heart of unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid and think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
I love the words of this song.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest crowd and storm. What heights of love, what depths of His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since first has on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
may be seated.
Good morning. As I'm waiting for our star ushers here to come up and kick off, we have outstanding Josh on my left and Jeremy, the greeter on the right. You know, it's so blessed, you know, when we have service. God bless the giver as we give back to you in praise and adoration for what you've given us. Is I can't pay back enough what you've given, but all I can do is pass the word of your living grace to others and tell others about the love of Jesus. May we be your servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ivan isn't here, and he's not here, but he's here watching us. There's a real prayer need in the family. They have strep throat. Sarah is really down. She's having a hard time getting over this. And so just lift up the Ivan and Sarah Marble family. So far, Ivan and Landon, I believe, have dodged the bullet, if you will, but whip them up in prayer, please. Please. We want to continue prayer for Dan and Becky. Dan is really just day by day, isn't it? It's day by day. And he does encourage people to send a card to him. He would really appreciate that, or give a call to Dan. He would really appreciate it. Are there any other praises or prayers? Yes. Lori Cooper. Any other? Yes, Josh. Josh Culver shared how he is so blessed by God that God helped him get out and go shopping, and how he could share with his mother some mental issues that he's struggling with. And so we want to just lift up Josh as he's struggling and going forward. Hopefully, taking notes there. I don't have a pencil with me. And, when the servant comes running. Bear with me as I'm writing these down. I believe we have a humorous God that loves to smile. I want to share a praise with you. I have two praises to share. God blessed Don and I with a new vehicle. And I've been wanting to go for a drive, just Don and I. Well, if I could put the pictures up on the wall up here. You would really like it. We went to a picture. We went to the seaside, but we decided to drive down 101, and we stopped at Nia Khan. A mountaintop experience with God. Think of this. Well, I took a picture, and here's this beautiful sun reflecting right off the Pacific Ocean, and I put it on Facebook this morning, and I'm getting all these crazy comments. Terry Rose said, there's nothing like the Oregon coast. Amen. Amen. All right. But the second phrase is I'm going to do impromptu happy birthday song for Teresa, and I'm going to do it the way I learned it here in Sunday school. Happy birthday to you, and to Jesus be true. May the Lord come and bless you. Happy birthday to you. Are there any other praises, requests? Who was my Sunday school teacher? Well, which one? Fred, my brother, is here. One time, Fred was one of my Sunday school teachers way back in the day. Let me see. There was May Wilhite, was in kindergarten. There was, don't do this to me. Baystuck was not one. Fay wasn't one. But Zanna Worthington was not one.
Marie
Gedwick was. And then Grandma Anderson. Rosa Anderson, and my mom, oh boy, and I think at one time, Willie and Mary Rice did something, I remember something, but yeah, I think that's it. Don't ask me to do memory verses, I wasn't good at that, but yeah. Any other praises, or Jeremy has some? Oh, he's really excited that his brother Jeff is going to be here, coming up here in February. Carolyn?
I just want to praise the Lord for the good ways that he works in my life during the week. As the little tiny steps, for the times when things seem little to me, for the good of
Carolyn was sharing how God blesses us with the little tiniest things that are. How's that, Carolyn? Yes, Kim. Amen. Kim was sharing the praise that God's blessed her with, our pastor, Teresa, and how Teresa was so receptive in helping her. Praise it. Amen. 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 And if you're deaf, absolutely. Yeah, she shares, the Lord works in mysterious ways, but not mysterious to God.
Continue praying for Mom and the nursing home and insurance and everything. We thought that they were going to kick her out today.
Oh, no.
We did appeal, and we've got a stay of dismissal, so to speak. But she's not even able to stand yet without a lift or something. So she needs to be there until she can be able to at least stand up and transfer into a wheelchair.
Linda shared that her mother, who's in assisted living,
skilled nursing facility,
right,
yes.
In nursing facility, is there, and but they were going to have to take her out. Now they got to stay, and she's excited with the praise that she's still there.
She's still there, but insurance, Medicare, just trying to push her, so.
Right. We also need to be praying for Gene. Gene isn't here today because he's in Idaho with his father, making really harsh decisions in taking care of his father. He wants to stay in the house. And last report that I heard was that the family's getting a lot better support with Gene and making those decisions. So we want to praise God with that prayer need also. I feel like I'm sweating. Any others? I don't want to leave anybody out. We might be small, but we're mighty in God. Right? Well, I would like to have Teresa come, and we're going to do a team prayer with this.
And I'll gladly start us off so you can pray for some of them. I like to always begin with praises, thanking God for all he's done. He knows what burdens us. He knows what's in our hearts. So always remember to thank God for the little things. Thank you, Sister Carolyn, for leading us off with that. Holy God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are in our lives, day after day, time and again. You provide us even with the littlest joys. Thank you, God, for doing that. We praise you because Josh was able to go shopping and get some new clothes. And we thank you for that. He's walking tall because of your blessing. Thank you for that. Thank you, God, for a wonderful mother who cares for her son and gave a listening ear. We thank you, God, because we know with our mental health, it takes a listening ear for us to recover and continue progressing. And so we thank you, God, for that. We thank you, God, for your provision all the way around. We know that Sister Linda's mom is looking for a long-term care facility to be at. And so we pray, God, that you will provide. We thank you for keeping her in the skilled nursing home where she needs to be right now. We pray for all of those who are giving her care, who are helping her recover and gain strength so she can have a reasonable portion of independence. We praise your holy name. We praise you for Bill and Donna's new car. They were able to go out and be in nature and worship you in that way, to look at the handiworks of God. We praise you. We bless you. We thank you, God, for that. We praise you that Brother Jeff will be in town. His brother, Jeremy, loves him to pieces. And thank you, God, for that. We thank you for our siblings. We thank you for our family. So many times, God, so many times, it's hard and families have strife. But you have blessed Jeff and Jeremy to have a loving brother relationship. So we thank you, God, for that. We thank you. We praise your holy name. We also praise you, God, that you are blessing Dan and Becky. They are facing hard times with his illness, and yet you are showing up. Thank you, God. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for their witness and their testimony to us here at Gales Creek. Thank you for the testimony that he has to his care providers, to his medical team. They are standing in awe wondering, how can this man be at peace? How can he be so happy? And we know, God, because it is because of your Holy Spirit in him, giving him witness. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for his loving brother, Dennis, who sees after him every day, checks in on him, brings him to church, runs errands. Thank you, God, for Dennis. We ask a blessing upon him right now, Lord God. And all the caregivers, we think of Ivan and Sarah as they care for her dad. We think of Gene as he cares for his dad. Again, Linda, as she cares for her mom. We have Rhonda, who cares for her dad. All of us, Jesus, who are caring for young ones or for the elderly, we ask a special blessing even now. Give them power, Lord Jesus, to continue being faithful to you. We thank you, Jesus, for doing it.
God, I pray for, I can't even remember his name, but you know who I'm referring to. Our retreat speaker had to reconsider because of a back injury. Larry Wilson from Medford, he won't be able to be our retreat speaker. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you just find the man that you've chosen for this position, Lord. And Lord, may we be at peace with this now. Father God, we just pray Lord, that you be with those that my mind is swift right now, even though I've jotted some of these down, Lord. God, a special blessing to be upon our pastor as she's prepared the words that you've chosen for her to share from your heart to her heart to our hearts. Open our hearts for you. In Jesus' name, we want to give you all the glory and praise for today, now, in this moment, and henceforth.
Amen.
Oh, yes, we can. You know, we're all children of God. Amen.
Amen.
God, I just want to lift up us as we are preparing our hearts for your glory. Bless those children that aren't here, Lord. Some are sick. Some are can't be here because his parents are sick. God, be with those little ones and be with us big ones too. God, for you all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
We say it at work often. Teamwork makes the dream work. So thank you. Thank you, Armando, for bringing up Pam. thank you, Brother Bill, for standing in for Pastor Ivan. This is what the family of God is all about. I do want to acknowledge my friends who are here today. They surprised me for celebrating my birthday. So Armando is here and his wife, Cecilia. And tell me your guests that you brought with you. We have a pastor, former pastor. Pastor Dan, who retired from, I believe, Colton, correct? And Nancy, his wife, they are with us as well. And Pastor Julie, say hello. And hubby. I know, Pastor Julie gave a wave to the back. RJ is like, hey. RJ is here as well, so welcome, my dear friends. Thank you for coming and being with us today. We have been talking about Jesus, and as we should, right? So to catch you all up to speed, we watched Jesus be born. We saw some interesting people that were there at the time of his birth, people who came to visit him when he was a toddler. And then we watched him enter into ministry. And so last week we talked about one of his most famous sermons. And today we're going to continue in that spot, just a little further down, where he's continuing that famous Sermon on the Mountainside. And so I'm going to invite you to read along with me Matthew chapter 5. Today we're going to focus on verses 13 through 16. So follow along any translation you prefer. Today I'm actually going to read from the Message again. So listen to how the Message shares that famous sermon. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket. I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Amen to God's word. I love the way they put that. So now the first thing with that, first thing we have to talk about is why Jesus chose salt. And you're like, when preachers get up and they use illustrations, they're supposed to be relatable, right? So why would he choose salt? You need to understand that Jesus, like preachers now, we use everyday things so that people can relate and understand what we're talking about. So he referenced the very common lifestyle people lived so that they wouldn't have to work hard to gain an understanding from his sermons. Now, some people still walked away going, even though he shared simple thoughts. Salt happened to be one of those simple things. Very common, just as it is today. In fact, I wouldn't have mind. If you go to the Saltworks website, you get a whole ton of history. Whole ton of history about salt. They have a section on salt history in addition to, you know, all of the products that they actually sell. And according to their website, as far back as 6,050 before Christ, 6,000 years before Christ, salt had been used by humans. That's amazing. The Egyptians were first recorded to use it as a preservative, and we've used it like that since then, and they used it for seasoning food, just like we do now. I mean, not much of salt has changed at all, actually. They also used to use it as money. You could actually bargain and barter things using salt. In fact, that's where salary in English comes from. Its root word is found in Latin, salarium, which is why we say you earn your salary. You're worth your salt. That's where that comes from. I know. Who knew? It's like kind of cool stuff. So Jesus uses salt because everybody knew what he was talking about. So when he tells his disciples, this is how they should show up in the world, all of the audience knew what he was talking about and they could relate to it. So you may wonder, well, yeah, does salt ever go bad? Does it ever lose its flavor? Not pure salt, not really. It lasts, like, forever. Iodized salt, on the other hand, may taste a little funny after it's been on your shelf for about 5 years, but it's still got its salt. It's still there. So why did Jesus talk about how salt could lose its flavor then if really salt doesn't change, it stays? Well, in biblical times, shady people would mix white sand with the salt and then sell it at the market, you know? So because you can't tell, salt is granular. It's like a sand, right? So if you mix some white sand in there, shake it up real good. Guess what, Sister Vicky? I'm going to sell to you $10. and you're going to buy it for $10. And then when you get home, you're going to be like, okay, right? So this is what Jesus is talking about here. You've been cheated sometimes when you purchase salt out in the market. You know what it's like when you don't have the real thing. So Jesus says, be the real thing. Don't be duped. And get a mixture of that real deal. Because it's going to taste funny and not be as what you expect when you taste it. So Jesus says, if you're truly my disciples, if you're truly following God and you believe in him, you're going to be like pure salt. We will help preserve the world by influencing it for the better. That's what salt does. It preserves. This is our job as followers of Christ. We preserve the people around us in our day and our time. We influence them all for God's glory. Who else is going to show people how to love, how to be kind, how to be patient, how to be forgiving, all the things that God stands for if it's not us? So Jesus says, I need you to be salt, not salty. I need you to be salt. He tells his disciples to go out and to preserve. Go and share your flavor. And this is why I like the way the message states it. You need to be that God flavor in the world. Salt for the Jewish community also symbolized purity. So those who are listening, because they're Jewish, they already know scripture. They also know salt isn't just for money. Salt isn't just for seasoning food. Salt isn't just for preserving meat. It is actually a part of our spiritual rituals. Salt for the Jewish community symbolized purity. The priests used salt to purify the sacrifices. You can read about that in Leviticus. Remember, go to Leviticus when you want to know anything about the law, because it's all there. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13 specifically talks about how the priests would use salt to purify. So when Jesus spoke of being like salt, his audience understood him to mean, be the agents of holiness. They were to be like God, imitate his ways and his character. And what did God say to his people? Be holy. Why? Because I'm holy. I need you to be like the salt. Salt purifies. And I need you to go out and purify in the world. Bring his character to life. So let's read verse 13 again. It says, let me tell you why you are here. This is the purpose of you being here. Okay, the whole purpose of God knowing you and saving you isn't so you can be happy and come to church on Sunday and sit with the saints. It's actually not the reason why. Listen to what it says. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. So in other words, you're dead to me. How can you call yourself my child and you're not even acting like me? You're not even trying to imitate who I am for the people around you. You're dead to me. You're not my child. I raised you better than that. This is what God is saying. Act like you actually know me. So when you see people you don't know, you don't look them up and down and go, I don't like what he has on. What is he wearing? It sounds like they're speaking a different language. They smell funny. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to have a smile on your face and welcome people, right? Because that's what God did. So if God himself is doing that, then guess what? We, his children, should be acting like him as well. Be that saltiness for God, bringing the God flavor to wherever you are in the world. And I know, so here's the one thing. We're going to go on a little side. We'll take a little side, Pastor Dan. Some people think if you're not a pastor, then you're off the hook. You can just come to church on Sunday and live your beautiful little life. Newsflash. According to this, wrong answer. You are supposed to be salt and light 24/7, no matter where you are. You don't have to be the pastor to be salt and light. In fact, he doesn't even mention anything about spiritual leaders in this whole passage. So that means every single last one of us is responsible to look and act like God, no matter where we are. It's not just for Sunday while we're in the sanctuary. It's when you're out eating at the restaurants. It's when you go to the bank. It's when you're standing in line at the store. It's when you're at work, when you're with your grandkids, when you're talking to that neighbor who doesn't always, you know, act right. All of those people. That's who we're supposed to be bringing the God flavor to. So it's not just for the pastors. It's not just for the religious leaders. It's for everyone who names the name of Christ. So I would argue that the church historically has shared its flavor with the world. We really have. Many Christians are among those who led society. We've created orphanages. They've led in education. I'm advocating for laws that promote care for all human beings, like our housing laws, equal pay,
abolishing slavery, led by Christian folk, people who named the name of Christ. Christians have definitely influenced society and the world. And just as we've been influencing our world, sometimes the world has been influencing us, and not for our benefit, unfortunately. If we mix and mingle too much, the equation gets imbalanced and we end up losing our saltiness. Now, Jesus warns his followers to beware. Don't become the diluted salt that's been mixed with sand. And I know it can be hard sometimes to distinguish if something is truly anti-Christ or simply not beneficial or prudent. And I know, because in the Christian community, we get caught up in these arguments all the time. Please, please, please do not get caught up in the classic do's and don'ts. Because for so many of us, we start shifting back to the law and we think if you're doing this or you're not doing that, that's why you're saved. But no, it's actually not that. Don't get caught up in that. It's real easy to. And so people will just argue about what's holy and what's not, and they miss the point. You miss the point of what Jesus is actually teaching and what God actually requires of us. So be careful, because we can get tempted to argue over our traditions and how we work out our soul salvation, but don't do it. That I'm trying to tell you. Don't take the bait. And so I'll give you some examples. Some people will argue with you, you know, if you're, you know, going to honor your body because it's God's temple, you should be a vegetarian. Because eating meat, you know, really isn't good for you. And some would say, if you do eat meat, if you're going to do it, then don't eat pork, right? Don't eat the non-kosher foods. Do follow what the Levitical law says. And then that's good. You're going to be saved and you're holy. And then there are those who say you shouldn't pierce your ears or wear earrings. And there's a whole theology around the way we dress, our jewelry, if we wear jewelry or not. You know, or even tattoos. Like tattoos for a long time. It's like, don't do that. Right? You're not going to go to heaven if you have a tattoo. It's like, oh my God, stop it. No. That is not what Scripture teaches. So please remember that your holiness and your salvation is not measured by any of those things. And you may actually recall, so I'll point this out, because it even happened in Scripture. It's nothing new to us. It's actually happened way back in the day. Peter and Paul had a falling out, if you remember, over tradition, which, of course, was based in the Bible, their Jewish law. And Paul had to lovingly correct his brother in Christ and remind him and others that once you are saved, once you believe in Jesus and have received his work that he's done, because it's his blood that saves you, not your works and all of the things that you try to do be holy. It's Jesus who saves us. So Paul has to remind us that once you are saved in Christ, you are saved. And it's not about the things you do and don't do. We are equal in God's eyes. So the result of the argument is recorded in Galatians 2. So I'm going to read a little bit of that. Galatians chapter 2, if you can write it down so you can reference it later, or if you can turn there quickly. Verses 11 through 16. Listen to what Paul says. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some of his friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. Now, remember, again, way back in the Old Testament, God asked for the males to be circumcised. So if you were a Jewish man, you were circumcised. But those, however, who came to know Christ, they weren't Jews. They were from all different kinds of backgrounds. And they weren't circumcised. So here's Peter. Okay, I'll hang out with you guys over here who are not circumcised because you believe in Jesus. And then when the other Jewish believers came, I'm going to now step over here. Jewish believer. Paul says, what kind of God do you think we serve? What kind of God do you think we serve? Once you know Christ, you are in Christ. Stop that, he says to Peter. So verse 13, as a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, Paul is Jew by birth as well, have distorted the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. Let me repeat that. You are made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by following the law. We have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God, because of our faith in Christ, not because we have, obeyed the law. No one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Ooh, that's a powerful teaching. It's very powerful, especially if you've walked a long time with God. There's a self-righteousness that can begin to develop because we know all things God. We know all things Jesus. And so we know those sinners when we see them. Paul is saying, I know it's tempting to do that, but don't do it. I don't care how long you've walked with Jesus. You are saved the same way that everybody else is saved. By faith in Jesus Christ. Not by whether or not you uphold the law. The law cannot save you. So Paul is saying, don't live under the old law. Jesus has come and given us, he has given us salvation for all of our sins, and our holiness is wrapped up in Jesus, not the tit and the tat of the Mosaic law. So be careful, saints. Be careful to not rely on your book knowledge. On your knowledge of what God says that we should do and how we should be, remember that salvation comes through faith in Christ. And so what we might be thinking is ungodly really has nothing to do with salvation. So now let's talk about light. Jesus says we are to be light in the world. And interestingly enough, Jesus will later claim to be light. So when you hear him talking, John actually brings this to, records his sermon about being light. So it's only normal for Jesus to teach his disciples to be, again, be like Jesus, imitate him, be light in this dark world. So have you ever been camping or far enough out of the city where there aren't lights from the traffic, the buildings, the billboards, the neon signs? That's what it was like in biblical times. Once the sun set, the city became completely dark because they didn't have all of the electricity that we have now. And so if anyone wanted light, you're going to have to light a candle, you're going to have to light a torch, something, or else you're going to be in complete darkness. You literally can't see in front of your face because it's so dark. They didn't have all of the street lights and the modern technology that we have now. And so complete darkness. So Jesus says, if you've got light in you, which you do because you believe in me, don't hide the light. Let it shine. Because what would be the point? It's pitch dark and you want to hide the light? Why? That's not helpful. If you want to walk somewhere or see anything, you've got to keep the source of light out. It It's got to either be on a stand, on a tabletop, on some type of a post, so that that light will then radiate and cast out the darkness. And that's the only way the light will be useful. So this is why he says, why would you light something and then put it under a bushel? Why would you light something and then hide it? That's just dumb. Don't do that. Let your light shine. And so he's saying, just as you would with physical candle, I need you to let your spiritual light shine. And we shouldn't hide it. You're probably wondering, yeah, so what does that actually look like in my daily life? Well, Jesus answers our question in his very sermon. He says in verse 16, keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And if you read in the New Living Translation or others, it will actually say, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Right? Shine your light so that others will give glory to God. May be how you memorized it. That's what that's saying. It's not so they can see how good you are. It's so they can see how good your God is. Jesus explains that shining our light is how we witness to the world, and more specifically, to the very people around us who God is. That's why I love Dan Kroon's testimony. He is literally suffering in his body. Yet every time you talk to this man, he's talking about praising Jesus, thank God for another day. And it's like amazing. That's how you shine your light. Because people who don't know this God he's talking about, you're going to become curious. And I say, I never really thought about going to church before, but this seems to be working for him. So you don't have to carry your Bible around. Well, John 3:16 says, you know you're doing wrong. Because see, right here in Leviticus, no, nobody needs that. Nobody. Not even another Christian. Nope. Stop doing it. What we do need is for you to reflect who God is. And when it comes up naturally in your conversations, you don't have to have a sermon. Just, you know, God is so good to me. Just last night, he blessed me with allowing me to see my grandkids. And we had such a good time. Just simple things in life. Simple. Thank you, God. Your giving thanks amongst those who don't even believe makes them pause and go, maybe one day I'll have to ask Julie about why she believes what she does. Your good works will give glory to God. Not for you, for God. Jesus explains that shining our light is how we witness to the world. They observe our good works, how we treat others, even when we're tired and cranky. Of course, I'm never cranky, just saying. Even when we're tired, I do get tired though, for real. Tired and cranky, it shows them who God is. And what God is like, who he is like. This is our testimony to the world. And I always, you know, I'm going to remind folks that our good works are not for our individual glory. We may be tempted to take credit, but it's God who has helped us do what we do and has helped us become who we are. Plain and simple. Anything you have is because of God's grace and his mercy, his forgiveness, his loving kindness. It is nothing that you have done. Amen and amen. I'm going to say amen to my own. Amen, walls. So let's remember to tell others that it is God who blessed us. It is God who helps us, even here, even now. It is not we ourselves. So here's some takeaways for us to not simply consider, because I don't want you to just intellectualize this. I want you to put it into practice. Challenge ourselves to actually do and be salt and light, as Jesus preached that day. How do we do that? You got to study the Word of God regularly. There's just no way around it. The Word of God can be used against you if you don't know and haven't read it for yourself and get an understanding. We've got all kinds of Bible study aids. We've got simple English translations. I know I grew up, I memorized King James Version, which is Old English, right? So for some people, that's too many these and thous. That's okay. There's simple English translations now. Don't make that an excuse of why you don't study your Bible and get familiar with it. Pray every day. Every day. Not on occasion and only when you need something. Pray every day. It's all right. Because God speaks to our hearts when we sit and pray and listen to Him. He already knows what's in our hearts. He already knows. He wants you to take time to acknowledge that you know that He knows. So pray every day. I also would offer to you, hang out with other believers. Don't let that be the limit of who you hang out with. Because again, you're shining your light and you're being salt amongst those who don't know Christ. But you got to also hang out with believers. Carve out some time for some good old-fashioned Christian fellowship. Because the good habits of your brothers and sisters in Christ, your siblings in Christ, they're going to rub off on you. And likewise, you rub off on them. But if you don't spend time together, you can't sharpen each other and challenge each other and hold each other accountable for our walk with Christ. So it's just those simple things. Studying the Word of God, praying every day, hanging out with fellow believers. Those good habits that they exhibit from your fellow believers in Christ, just, you know, you put it into practice and before you know it, it becomes second nature. And so if you were once hot-tempered, you'll learn the patience of the people around you. Go, oh, that's a better way of doing it. I don't have to tell people what I'm thinking right here, right now. I can actually hold my tongue. Fancy that. But if it's not been modeled before you, it's hard to make that happen, right? This is why we got to hang out with each other. These three practices will help us grow spiritually, help deepen our relationship with God. And that's how we can be ready to be salt and light every day. Without a relationship with God, it can't happen. Build your relationship with God, and it'll happen naturally. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you again for this day. Thank you for life. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for right minds. We bless you, Lord God, because you are always good to us. Thank you for your word. Just encouraging us to deepen our relationship with you so that we can truly be salt, not losing its flavor. We want to be light, not hidden, but out for the world to see so that others will become curious about who you are in our lives. We thank you, God, for it. Bless us now. And we thank you. Amen. Let's close with a song and I'll come back with our benediction.
You now bring us, shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this lamp with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river.
from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Amen.
I want to encourage you, my brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, to carry the word of God in you this week so that you can be salt and light. Until we meet again, go in God's peace and in his grace. The Lord be with you. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.
Amen. Amen, amen.